Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation Half Year Results Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Scales Interim Results Announcement for the 6 months ending 30 June 2025. I'm calling in from Melbourne, meeting the teams and visiting our plant here today and tomorrow. And back in Christchurch, we've got Steve Kennelly, Scales CFO, and Jeff Smith, Scales Chief Operating Officer. So earlier this morning, we lodged our results with the NZX, which included a presentation pack. And we'll base our comments on that presentation during this call. Steve and I'll run through the slides and then take questions. An agenda is provided on slide two. Moving through to the overview on slide four, this slide provides an overview of the first half of 2025. I'm pleased to say that Scales produced a very strong first half performance, which is supporting a further lift in the full year FY25 earnings guidance. I'll provide more information about that later. So underlying EBITDA was $86.7 million, up 43%. Underlying NPAT was $56.9 million, up 48%. And underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders was $48.9 million, up 72%. These results were a consequence of all our operating divisions successfully executing their respective growth strategies, and in particular, both horticulture and logistics producing outstanding results. As a result, the directors are pleased to advise a further increase in Scales' full-year FY25 earnings guidance from that advised in June. Underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders is now expected to be between $45 million and $50 million. So slide five, each of our divisions illustrated its respective strengths during the first 6 months of the year. Global Proteins continues to progress its strategic growth goal. Meateor Australia had a particularly strong first half performance, and we're pleased to increase our investment in Shelby. Horticulture is realising the benefit of the long-term strategic investment into premium apple varieties that are targeted at our key markets of Asia and the Middle East, with this strategy being fast-tracked following the Bostock acquisition. And logistics has benefited from a strong horticulture season. I'll now pass to Steve, who will run through the financial results for the first half of the year.
Thanks, Andy. Slide 7 summarises the financial performance for the group for the first half of 2025. As Andy previously mentioned, the group generated significant increases in underlying earnings compared to the same period last year. Pleasingly, reported earnings have also shown an increase in all areas. In respect of the performance by division, Global Proteins delivered another steady result with underlying EBITDA of $29.7 million, which was consistent broadly with both the first and second half of 2024. The Horticulture division generated an exceptional result with an underlying EBITDA of $53.2 million, up 77% compared to the first half of last year. This was a result of both increased apple volumes and positive pricing due to variety mix and apple size. And logistics produced an excellent result of $6.1 million, which was an increase of 60% compared to the same period last year, again due to an increase in volumes. The next slide summarises our financial position. There was a decrease of $14.4 million in net debt to $67.5 million as at 30 June 2025. This largely reflects income from earnings and proceeds from the sale of orchards to Craigmore, offset by the cost of our additional 7.5% investment in Shelby. And I'd also like to note that the settlement of the sale of Wakadu Cool Store will take place this month. I'll pass you back to Andy.
Thanks, Steve. As Steve mentioned, underlying EBITDA for Global Proteins was consistent with both the first and second half of 2024. However, underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders increased 14% due in part to the increased investment in Shelby. There were increases in both feed, for both pet food ingredients and edible proteins volumes, as previously mentioned. Both Meateor Australia and Fayman produced strong first half performances, with Meateor Australia in particular being ahead of forecast. There was a slight increase in the overall margin per kilogram sold of pet food ingredients in the 6 months to June 2025, whilst revenue per kilogram remained steady. Moving to slide 13, this current slide provides an update to the 9 key strategic initiatives within the Global Proteins Division. Those on the left-hand side of the slide are either completed and operational or close to completion, such as the Netherlands processing facility that was commissioned in the first quarter of this year. The projects on the right are ongoing and will continue to bring you up to date as these progress. Slide 14, as previously mentioned, the Horticulture Division delivered a significant increase in earnings with underlying EBITDA up 77% on last year. The division benefited from increased volumes and improved variety mix and apple size. Mr. Apple's total own grown export volumes are forecast to be 3.7 million TCEs, which is a projected increase of around 21% on 2024. Horticulture continues to experience growth in premium apple volumes, with the proportion of these apples increasing to around 75% this year, up from 72% last year. This included significant increases in our Dazzle and Posy volumes, which are forecast to account for over 25% of premium volumes in 2025. We expect our total premium variety volumes will continue to grow in future harvests as a result of maturing plantings. The Asia and Middle East markets are expected to account for around 85% of total fruit sold, and we are anticipating strong demand in Asia due to a short supply, due to supply shortage and the upcoming mid-autumn festival. Profruit's volumes reflect a more normal year compared to the overperformance of 2024, with continued strong sales into the US. Moving on to logistics, which produced an exceptional result underpinned by increased freight volumes. Its underlying EBITDA of $6.1 million was up 60% on the first half of 2024. The division experienced high demand for sea freight, particularly from the horticultural sector, and a significant increase in air freight volumes, particularly across dairy. Our new Auckland cool store and warehouse has also helped to facilitate this lift in volumes. Moving to our sustainability update. Sustainability continues to be of high importance across the group, and having successfully delivered on our 2024 sustainability milestones, we're now developing new targets for the period ahead. A materiality assessment is underway to help us better understand key topics and issues for all of our stakeholders, and we're refreshing our sustainability strategy to allow us to build a longer-term sustainability roadmap. Specific projects include improving our Scope 3 emissions, implementing an enhanced parental leave policy to support our staff, and reviewing our decarbonisation work to help us set our next emissions targets. So, the FY25 and future outlook. Lastly, I'd like to update you on these two matters. As noted earlier, the directors are pleased to advise a further increase in the FY25 guidance range of underlying net profit after tax attributable to shareholders to between $45 million to $50 million. In providing this guidance, directors note the following. Mr. Apple has 18% of his export crop to sell, which compares to around 14% this time last year. We remain cautious in global proteins due to the current operating and geopolitical environment. However, we are confident with the medium-term and strategic growth initiatives that we have in place. So, the pathway ahead. On this slide, we've summarised both where we are at currently and what we see as the pathway ahead for Scales. Where are we at? The recovery from Cyclone Gabrielle is complete, with our long-term strategic investments, including the Vostok transaction, delivering results. Our revised guidance will give rise to increased dividends, and our divisional strategies are ensuring enhanced diversification of earnings. Going forward, we've identified key drivers in terms of future growth, including the following. Continued diversification of earnings. A focus on the expansion of global protein and logistics, leveraging our established global footprint. Our global expansion will be facilitated by the supply chain excellence within the group. and we anticipate ongoing opportunities for growth through increases in our joint venture stakes. We're excited for the future and what it holds. That concludes today's formal presentation. However, please take note of Appendix 1 of the presentation, which provides additional financial information and reconciles underlying earnings to reported earnings for the group and each of our divisions. We're now happy to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And our first question comes from Guy Hooper with Jarden.
Yeah, good morning, team. Well done on a strong result. Can I just start? There's quite a lot of moving parts, I guess, within the global proteins business. Can you sort of talk to how maybe some of the projects have been either, you know, completed at the back end of 24 and into 25, how well they're performing, and I guess what the expectations are as their capacity scales and the earnings contributions over the next, say, 12 to 18 months?
Thanks, Guy. Look, we've noted the very strong performance of the, you know, new plant in Melbourne. That project's gone really well and now contributing to earnings. The second toll processing plant in North America is running and operating very well. It's doing as we expected it to do. And the plant in the Netherlands is sort of, it's because we moved it from Belgium to back to the Netherlands, it's sort of been delayed, but it's commissioned now and going through that phase towards profitability. So we're very pleased with all of those major projects where they're heading, and they're contributing to EBITDA, you know, as expected, and will be all, including the Netherlands plant, hopefully by the end of this year. The projects that are ongoing are working through the system, going well, and expecting to contribute in 2026.
Great, thanks for some color there. Another upgrade to the guidance range. Could we just sort of talk as to what is factored in there? I know, I think you mentioned around some caution around macro and global trade challenges. I mean, have you seen to date, what sort of impact have you seen within that global protein side, and what should we be looking for as the key risk factor here?
Look, I think it's broadly in line with what we're doing for the second half of 24, but I guess it's just that cautionary position around the uncertainty that's created by the tariffs, for example. I mean, we're working through that. I mean, clearly, if Australia's got a small advantage now on New Zealand with the 10 versus the 15, there has been slight disruptions in markets like the Thailand because they haven't, settled their tariff agreement yet, or if they have, it's at a higher rate. So it hasn't been plain sailing, but the business has gone, we're still very happy with the way the fulfillment, the global proteins division is operating, and the contribution it's making financially is strong.
Okay, great. And is that the main risk that's sort of factored into that guidance range?
Well, I think that and, if you like, just that the demand for pet food, it's probably not as going as the same strong CAGR that it had been going, but we have no evidence to suggest that it's not going to, bounce back, or improve going forward and hold that steady CAGR growth of around 6.5% that looks like it's, holding in there.
Okay. And just one last one from me. I mean, he emphasised the growth over the next couple of years within proteins and logistics. I mean, we know the projects there and proteins. Can you talk a little bit about what expansion within logistics looks like?
Look, we've just been consistent in saying we really like the industry. We like that freight forwarding model that we're really, Scales Logistics is really good at, and we are, you know, actively looking for opportunities to, you know, ramp that area up, and particularly, you know, with, you know, more exposure to the global operations that are that you know, to connect up with how we operate globally with our apples and our pet food, and all of those two areas, we've been able to pick up freight from other horticulture businesses and other pet food businesses. So it's a, you know, it's a sort of a multiplier effect, if you like, if you can add logistics to your export solutions.
Great. Thanks. That's all from me, and congratulations again on a strong result.
Thanks, Guy.
Our next question comes from Matt Montgomery with Forsyth Barr.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Just one for Steve on guidance. I'd be interested if you could just provide a bit more specifics around where you see Hort EBITDA and impact for the year. You know, obviously, there's not much fruit to be sold, as you've outlined, so I assume there's not too much variance in that. So just, I guess that'd be a useful way of framing the second half and the guidance upgrade, of just a bit more specifics on Hort earnings for the year.
Sure. We probably see reasonably flat second half, if not slightly down. Just been a couple of changes between last year and this year. So we've got more fixed costs and probably some more variable costs coming into the second half this year than last year. So we wouldn't see a repeat of last year's second half. And that's at an EBITDA level.
Okay, that's useful. And then just sticking on Hort again, if we go back to Feb, I think we were talking 3.7 million TCEs in FY27 and sort of post IFRS EBITDA of maybe 50 to 55. Like, I know this year's been, I guess, abnormally strong because of, you know, the growing season, but has, I guess, another 6 months or a strong growing season altered your view of sort of the medium term or the next few years in Hort?
I'll take that one, guys. Look, I think we're very happy, with the performance of the business and the strategy of growing, you know, having access to the varieties that we've invested in, and how they performed in the market has really, you know, met and exceeded our expectations. So, you know, if you like, you know, people talk about, oh, we're going to do this strategy or that strategy. Well, we're sort of saying, well, we've done the strategy and it's worked. Selling premium variety apples into Asia and the Middle East is a good model, a successful model, especially spread across a diversified market range. It's not just one market. We are lifting our volumes in those premium apples. So I think we sort of, yeah, we, the goal we set wasn't sort of super cautious, it was achievable, and, you know, we're on track to get to it, but we're not lifting it, you know, above that, those ranges that we've set at the moment.
That's useful. Thanks. And maybe, Andy, sticking with you, just on proteins again for the full year, I think we were talking to maybe flat to slight growth in the year overall. Has there been any change to that thinking? Like, it feels like the underlying business, stripping out Meateor International, maybe going a little bit better than expected, but yeah, just any further color on proteins earnings for the year?
Yeah, look, I think you're on the, you know, what you're saying is about right. I mean, that's where we're heading, is steady in a probably a pretty patchy market. So we have had the task of offsetting the reduction in Meateor International, but I mean, that's sort of gone through pretty seamlessly. And, you know, the businesses are all going well. It's just a matter of, you know, keeping going on the execution of the various projects, Matt.
Yeah.
So we'll be broadly in line, you know, the result's going to be broadly in line with the second half of 24, we feel.
Yeah. And just, I suppose, on the path to 70 in FY27, would we still be expecting, I guess, higher growth in 27 over 26 than 26 over 25, i.e. just a little bit more back-end loaded?
Look, I think we've certainly, you know, got plans for solid growth in 26 because of the second implant cooling system kicking in. So that's going to be a good lift up for us, and yeah, I would say that momentum would continue into 27. But yeah, I don't think we have backloaded it, you know, totally. I think it's more like a growth in 26 and growth in 27.
Yeah. Okay, that's useful. And I'll hog the mic and go one more. Steve, just on net debt for the year, just where you think it will land, I suppose, if we assume the midpoint of your guide?
We are looking probably at a slight increase on last year after the, obviously, the Shelby acquisition earlier in the year. So we're probably around that 20 mark, net cash.
Thanks.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And we'll go next to Rob Morrison with Craigs.
Hey, morning, guys. Congratulations on a very good result. So I think earlier you spoke to hopes that the growth in the pet food market would get back to, say, 6-7% that it had been seeing a few years ago. And I think more recently it's been, say, low single digits. What's going to drive that and what's the timing on that?
Well, that's sort of like macro trends. I mean, we're operating sort of an airline niche within it. So I think, we're seeing long-term prospects for pet ownership and pet food consumption holding, you know, at the numbers predicted. So there's no general downturn in pet food. I think there's probably just a bit of disruption because of what's going on in America. And that once that settles down again, we would see growth heading back to, you know, the norms being predicted. And I guess how we operate within the sector is, you know, our opportunity to maybe outperform the sector growth, which we have been doing, obviously, over the last few years.
Okay, thanks. So, sorry, just to be clear, what's going on in America? So the reason the growth has fallen from, say, mid-single digits to low single digits at the last data point is largely because of the tariffs.
Yeah, well, I think that just caused a lot of uncertainty. I mean, you know, just people being a bit more cautious right through from, you know, our customers right through to their customers.
Yeah, no, that's fair. What do you see as the drivers of global proteins growth in FY28 and beyond? Because obviously we've got a great line of sight to FY27, but from FY28 plus, is it just inorganic opportunities or are there some projects on the horizon that will accelerate organic growth?
Oh, yeah, definitely both. We'll be doing both, you know, just growing the existing businesses, but obviously looking for, you know, further growth too, because we just feel like there's more opportunity in the sector to, you know, provide better and more comprehensive offerings to our major customers. You know, as we're looking at different species, as we're looking at different products within the range, I mean, there's a wide field to play in there.
Okay. Could you give a little bit more color, if possible? You obviously mentioned species and customers, but is it as simple as, you know, just opening new factories and new collection systems, or is there something else that needs to happen?
No, well, I think as we've sort of said before, we're fish and poultry. We're early days on. I mean, if we scale up in fish and poultry to what we've got in beef and pork, well, there's massive growth. We're just looking at various ways of entering those markets in a more granular, meaningful way. So yeah, we'll sort of keep your eye on what we are doing for sure in terms of execution on the projects. But as you're saying, yeah, there's a hell of a lot of opportunity out there to look at different species and or different more plants. You know, we've got having early discussions about perhaps more plants, potentially one, and we've talked about the second one in Europe. It's still to be fully assessed, but there's also more plant opportunities in, I would say, America and possibly Australia. And you mentioned in the pack there a bit of internal growth in New Zealand as well. We're hoping to broaden our integration, I suppose, into pet food products in New Zealand as well, obviously off a smaller base given the size of the New Zealand business.
Okay. That sounds good. Do you know what the growth in pricing for apples was, both for traditional and kind of next-gen varieties?
Steve or Jeff, have you got that in front of you?
We're certainly up on last year, both in premium and traditional. I suppose remind everyone that the apples this year were larger, so there's you're sort of got to be a bit careful in comparing like for like. But we're certainly up on both premium and traditional in market pricing.
I think we're also obviously benefiting from a pretty good currency position and possibly improving freight rates. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, no, definitely on a currency basis, and that's going to continue on. We're pretty highly covered going out forward at favourable rates, so we get incremental benefit there. I think shipping rates are probably what we expected, but we're seeing towards the end of the season that a slight improvement in those as well. So certainly at a grower return basis, an improvement on last year as well.
Okay, great. And that year-on-year improvement in pricing, because I guess the bigger apple size was something of a one-off. You know, how much of that year improvement was one-off from bigger apples?
Good question, Rob. I don't have an answer to that. I think fundamentally there's some underlying element of increase in pricing, like for like, but certainly the larger apple sizes do help as well. But I don't have a split for that.
No, that's fair enough. It was pretty specific. Final question. I think there's been another increase to tariffs since your last update. Could you just give us an overview of where the impact is and what the gross and net result is going to be going forward?
Look, I don't think we're really not going to get impacted for the rest of 25 because this is really just pet food. I mean, directly, apples are a bit indirect, but from a pet food point of view, the increase from 10 to 15 is largely going to be, well, not shown up in 25 because if the product we're selling up there is already up there, so it's had its 10% and they don't, it's the tariff increase at 15 would be stuff leaving now, which wouldn't be maybe for sale until next year, but it's, for next year, we're in that pricing discovery stage now of finding out what the market will take and then talking to the meat packers about what they'll sell for. So we're hoping to just see that net itself out, if you like. And with apples, it's really about disruption of other markets. And you probably, with American fruit not ending up in China, for example, that creates a bit more demand. And so, it's choppy, but, I don't think it's going to be a dramatic impact on the scales result, both for this year and or going forward.
Nice one. Hey, thank you so much. You have a good day.
Thanks, Rob.
Our next question comes from David Oxley with ACC.
Morning. Could I just ask quickly about Shelby? If I've got the maths right, and I might not have done, given it's a bit more complex this year due to the increase in stake partway through the half, but it looks to me like Shelby in its entirety was slightly down versus prior year. A, is that broadly correct? And if so, any colour to add as to why that might be?
Dave, do you want to take that one?
That's broadly correct, David. I might pass back to Andy to comment on the performance, though.
Oh, well, look, I think it's been steady, let's say, but slightly down. And that's, I think that's a function of the more perhaps a slowing in the US market of consumer demand. But, I mean, they've got a lot of things going on in the US around immigration labour in meat plants. The shortage of beef is a problem for the industry. And so we've sort of got to go with the flow, you know, with those disruptions. Holding where we have been, it's been a pretty good performance from the team at Shelby. You know, very good performance. So I just think we have got those macro, those specific USA issues to deal with. I think they're not, catastrophic or a massive problem. They're just, working through, slightly tighter beef supply, the labour issues, and, perhaps a softening of consumer demand. But we don't see that as a long-term position.
Right, I understand. So we're in the pack when you talk to increases of pet food ingredients and sales volumes. That's collectively for the overall division. It's sort of flattish in Shelby and strong growth out of Melbourne and Holland. Is that a way to read it?
Yeah.
I understand. Hey, thank you very much.
And there are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand it back over to Mr. Borland for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks very much for participating in today's call. We look forward to providing you with further updates later in the year. Appreciate your support and interest. Thanks very much.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.